All right, good morning. Turn to Genesis 32. We'll get there in a second. Genesis 32. Ever wanted something so bad that you had a sacrifice to get it? I remember in 1977, my mother was in love with Elvis Presley. And this is before I was saved. I got saved when I was 23. I was 17 at the time. And New Haven Coliseum was still there, if those who are older remember that. And she slept overnight outside my mother to get tickets to see Elvis Presley. And I remember seeing him 6 weeks before he died. He was very way overweight, mumbling his words. But actually, when he sang, he actually remembered the words. Myself, when I was 17, I started bodybuilding till 23. And when, towards 21, 22, 23, I did everything to be Mr. Connecticut. I would burn out training partners. I would be strict in my eating habits. I wasn't saved. I only drank Saturday nights because I didn't have to train on Sundays. But then, of course, I hurt my back, and becoming known to the Lord was the best thing that ever happened to me. But, you know, you'll sacrifice to get what you want. And listen, anything in life, it requires sacrifice. If you're an athlete or whatever you do, it requires sacrifice. But we don't like sacrifice, especially when we come to fasting. I'm going to get to that in a little bit here. We don't want to give up certain things to do that. But if we really want our marriages to be strong, we want single people to live for God, our kids to follow God, again, some of these things are out of our control, but there's things that God has in His Word, prayer and fasting, that do help, and I'm going to show you that today. It's that extra, if you will, to do it for God's hand to move. And again, I've preached a series on this, 3-4 message. I'm only going to try to do it in one, so any questions you have after, you can ask me about this, but just kind of want to move along. So I want you to think of your own besetting sins that you struggle with. Fasting can help break that, and I'll show you that, okay? So think about your own thing, what you struggle with. Maybe, you know, you have a bad attitude, you have constant frustration, anxiety, outbursts of anger. And God doesn't want us to have those things. And so we're going to have to wrestle with God in prayer and in fasting to overcome some of those. So I kind of want to start off here in Genesis 32. The scene is Jacob, remember, he gave up, Esau gave up his birthright 20 years ago. God said, all right, I want you to go back to Canaan. And you're going to meet your brother in chapter 33. But before that time, he's afraid, man. He's breaking up everybody. He's afraid of meeting him. And so finally, and most believe this is Jesus, meets him and starts wrestling with Jesus, if you will. All right, so I just want to start off by talking about some wrestling, the results of wrestling in prayer. The first one is power with God and with man. Let's start in verse 24. And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled the man. Again, most believe he's talking about a Christophany. There is Jesus with him until the breaking of day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. So he wrestled with him in pain, asking God. And he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. And he said unto him, what is thy name? Remember in the Old Testament, your name reflected who you were. And he said, Jacob. And Jacob's name means what? Deceiver, supplanter. And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. There's the name right there. It gets changed to Israel, right? And it means to persist with God. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men. So as we pray, we get closer to God. There's no doubt about it, right? As you pray, you get closer to God and you depend more on the Holy Spirit. And that's where the power is. Remember, it's not in yourself. Zechariah 4:6 says, not by might, not nor by power, but by his Spirit, saith the Lord. We could do great things yielding to the Spirit. Because it's God's power, right? So when we fail to pray, Jesus said this in Luke 18:1, men ought always to pray and not what? Faint. Right? So when we're fainting, we're not praying. I've said that many times. When we're fainting, we're not praying. It's really that simple, right? There, the power is there. Remember the float in, I don't know how many years ago, but I remember the float in New Year's Eve in New York. It was traveling down and it stopped. It ran out of gas. But the craziest thing, it was Standard Oil Company. They ran out of gas. They had all the resources, but they ran out of gas, right? So I want to say to you that I know you have struggles and I have struggles, but the power of the Holy Spirit, you can do great things. And I'm going to show you that it's not somebody, you know, has to be some great person. It's you. You could see as you pray, and you'll see eventually as you fast, you could see the power of God in your life. Yeah. The second thing is we'll prevail over our struggles. Look at verse 28. The next part of it says, and has prevailed. Now, I look at the word prevail. It's yokol. It means to be able. It has the idea of to able to go on during your struggles. So as we give our burdens over to God and we pray, we could go on through our struggles. I remember George Martin sitting here about 10 years ago, and he just found out that he had cancer. We sat down and prayed, and he says, Lord, I just want to thank you for everything, and I pray you give me strength that I can bring glory to your name through this cancer. I'll never forget that prayer. He sat right there and said that. And you know, he went on, he had surgery, went on and served the Lord, and today he's in Florida. We're actually going to see him next week. We're going to go down and see Nancy and George. And he's had a stroke. He's lost one eye and he's a little weak, but, you know, he's still serving God. The third thing I see in this text is the pouring out of blessings on our lives. Look at verse 29. It says, and Jacob asked him and said, tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name? And he blessed him there. Now, we know that God blesses all Christians just being in Christ. Ephesians 1:3 says, blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us. That's in the past participle, so meaning he already has it. It's there for you. With all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Jeremiah 33:3 says, call unto me and I will answer thee. I will show thee great and mighty things. And that word mighty in the Hebrew means hidden or inaccessible to man. Now, I know all of us at times we don't pray, and I'll tell you why. One of the main reasons was, first of all, we're too lazy. Second, we're way overburdened with everything in life. We don't make a priority of it. And then we don't think it works. How many times I prayed that, Lord, it didn't happen? And then you give up. Remember, God answers prayers, yes, wait, no. He knows what's best. We don't like the waiting. We don't like the no's. So we got to call on God. James 5:16 says, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Verse 17, Elijah was a man subject to like passions we are. He's just like us. Don't put any of these people on a pedestal, by the way. They're all men and women just like us. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth for the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. This week, Lynn and I were praying in the morning, and I said, Lord, could you? I pray you give me some wood. 2 hours later, the phone rings. Pastor, are you looking for some wood? I'm not kidding. And this guy came, 3 big trucks, though, just dumped it over and over and over again. And some of them were really big pieces. I usually don't get those pieces anymore, but I couldn't say no to those because he was dumping all this wood. Thank God for some people who helped me to split that wood. But, you know, you just pray, God will provide. Obviously, you got to be a good steward of what he provides, though. I mean, I always talk about the book of Proverbs. It's very hard as a pastor, as a Christian, to say, I'm going to help this person or you're enabling this person, right? So they always got to go back and say, are they being a good steward of what they have? You can help. I mean, I'll let nobody starve, but there's a point where it's hard to cut people off, right? It's very difficult. It's very, very difficult, especially if the people around it that you love. The fifth thing I see here is people are affected by it. Personal change will take place in our lives. That's number 4. Look at verse 31 and 32 here. It says, and Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. Right? Back verse 28, and Jacob was blessed, right? But then God says he's changed here, verse 31, and he's passed over Peniel. And the sun rose upon him, and he halted, or he limped upon his thigh. So Jacob was changed. I don't know if he had that limp the rest of his life, but maybe he did. You think, that doesn't make sense. I'm praying, and then I'm going to be limping the rest of my life? But he was a changed man for praying. And we affect people, you know, when when we're close to God, we affect people. And we pray, our desires change. I noticed that in my life, instead of going with a list, saying, God, do this, you get closer to God, He changes your desires, and what you start praying for starts to change. It's more directed really towards His glory, other people, than it is yourself. And the last thing here is people are affected by it. Look at verse 32. It says, therefore, the children of Israel eat not of the sinew, that's the sciatic nerve, which shrank, which is upon the hollow of the thigh unto this day, because he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh and the sinew that shrank. So here, you know, he's saying, look, they're saying, I'm not going to eat that anymore because look what God did. So his prayer life, his walk affected the rest of the people. I'll tell you what. When you're close to God, you affect people around you. But the opposite is true. When you're not walking with God, you affect people in the wrong way. My brother, Ken Smith, I love Kenny. He's a man of prayer. He is known with the veterans as the chaplain. Where he works, where he lives, everybody knows him as that. See, that's, you're affecting people. I tell him that all the time. It's a place that is very dark, and people are always complaining, but I said, keep being the light there. And they always go to him, and he has to learn, and you know, him and I are the same way. He's like, you got to learn sometimes he has to say no, because people ask about a billion things to do because they know he'll do it. But then you have to make a discernment again. Am I helping those people? It's a very difficult thing. But I hope people see you differently because you walk with God. But it all starts in prayer. Giving things over, asking for God's power, looking for direction. We're going to talk more about that in a minute about fasting. So let's go to Matthew 17 now. So here in this text, the Bible couples now prayer, and I want to get into the fasting thing, with fasting. And here in Matthew 17, remember back in Matthew 10, Jesus gave power to the disciples to heal, to raise the dead, sent them out. Okay? And we're going to pick up in verse 17, Matthew 17. Well, actually, start in verse 14. And when they were come to the multitude, there came to a certain man kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic. Here he's talking about epileptics. It's kind of the word moonstruck. And in this case, it was because he was demon-possessed. That's not always the case. He was sore vexed, for oftentimes he falleth into fire, so he was convulsing, often into the water. Verse 16, I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring them hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil or the demon, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and say, why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, because your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of a mustard seed, you shall say to this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall be removed, and nothing shall be impossible with you. Of course, always remember, according to God's will, 1 John 5:14. Don't take this verse, because some people, Christians, will take this verse and they'll say, if we pray hard enough, it's always going to happen. No, it's according to God's will. That's that name it and claim it stuff. Don't go there. They'll get that verse and they'll think that. But look at verse 21. Howbeit this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. Now, the disciples had the power, but what I think would happen here is they neglected prayer, they neglected disciplining themselves of depending on God, and they become self-confident. That's the only thing I look at when I see this, is that they didn't really trust in the power. They weren't depending on God to do this. If they did, they would have, what would have happened? So I think they neglected prayer and neglected depending on God in this case, and that's why they couldn't do it. So as Christians, we all know, we've been saved for a while, we know the right things to say and do, but will we sacrifice more time in prayer and start fasting? And that's another step of sacrificing, because everybody in this room loves to eat. And some of us are addicted to eating. Now, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on the physical part of fasting, but there's so many benefits. I'll give you a few as we go along here. Psalm 126, verse 5 and 6 says, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth weeping, again praying, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing the sheaves with him. So my goal is to show you today through prayer and fasting, God could do the impossible. But you have to believe that. Now, before I get into fasting, I just kind of looked at the way God uses food in the Bible. I kind of looked at this kind of just in general. The first thing is obvious is A, it sustains us. All right, Genesis 1:3. I'm going to go through this really, really quick. Genesis 1:30. And to every beast of the earth, to every fowl of the air, to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given a green herb for meat, and it was so. So that was before the flood. Then the flood came. Genesis 9:3 says, every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you. So you can eat meat. I just encourage you to eat organic meat if you can. No steroids, no antibiotics. It'll be better for you. But it says, even as the green herb have given you. The second thing, it satisfies us, or it's there for enjoyment. Ecclesiastes 2:24 says, there's nothing better for a man that he should eat and drink, that he should make his soul enjoy good in his labor. This also I saw that it was from the hand of God. So in that text, Ecclesiastes 2, remember, everything is vanity, but he's saying, look, through the filter of God, you could take his creation, you could enjoy it. Okay? Remember, if you don't take it through the filter of God and you go for creation, it'll never satisfy you. Christ satisfies you, but you can enjoy his creation through him, not use his creation to find joy. Right? So we can enjoy food, but we should not be addicted to food. We're going to talk about dopamine in a little bit. So many people are eating so much food that this dopamine is saturated. We're going to talk about fasting, how it actually breaks that. All right? I love fruits. It's one of my favorite things. Every morning I get up, eat 5 organic eggs, I eat avocado and blueberries. I love blueberries. Right? God has given us great things to enjoy. Right, real quick, C, to surround people together. That's not a main purpose, but I kind of found this verse. Deuteronomy 12:18 says, but thou must eat before them. This is talking about sacrifices together. Before the Lord thy God in the place where the Lord thy God shall choose thou, thy son, thy daughter, thy manservant. See all these people together. And thy maidservant and the Levite that is within the gates. Thou shalt rejoice before the Lord thy God in all thou puttest thy hands into. So here's speaking of sacrifices. Again, I just think through the scriptures, you see God, you know, as food, like it's like your family. You sit down to eat and there's fellowship, right? Eating doesn't mean fellowship, by the way, because people think that. At the church functions, right, food doesn't bring fellowship. Fellowship is koinonia. It's a spiritual thing. It's not just food. We say that, right? We're going to have a fellowship dinner, but it's really spiritual things, but food pulls that. And the last thing is to sound thanksgiving to himself. 1 Timothy 4:4 says, for every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused is to receive with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. Right? Even lost people, religious people, sometimes pray around the table. They're thanking God for their food. We should be thanking God, right? All right, so let's get into fasting. What is fasting? The word fast, Matthew 6:16, it's nustuo, and it means to abstain from food. Simple definition. It's the idea of self-denial. That's what the word means, right? The Old Testament has kind of the same. It means the afflicting of the soul, and it's not only the body, but the whole person. So our flesh does not like to deny itself. That's why there's not many people that fast. If I ask today, don't raise your hand. You know, remember I used to, in this church, we used to have people fasting once a month, once a week. I had a sign-up sheet, but people dwindled more and more. It was gone. Fasting once a week. I always think if you do something once a week, you know, it's just easier in your life. We had it all filled up. They had like 3-4 people a day fasting in this church. And then we had everybody fasting once per month. There's other people that were fasting. I'll start it again if you want to do it. But this world doesn't want to deny ourselves, especially this whole world, eat, drink, be merry. But if you want to accomplish anything for God, it's going to require sacrifice. Everything requires sacrifice, right? Luke 9:23, one of my favorite verses in the Bible. He said unto them all, if any man will come after him, let him deny himself. It means disown. Take up his cross daily. That's submission, surrender. And follow me. That means continue in his word. So listen, if you want to have a great marriage, you're going to have to sacrifice. right? If you're going to have anything worthwhile, whatever I got to do to provide for my family, I'll do it. Somebody saw us chopping wood and said, man, that's hard work, man. I know it's hard work. But of course it's hard work. Nothing is easy. This idea that we have this Christianity, it's so comfort. Just come. God just wants to bless me. I'm just going to sit on my couch. And God's a loving God, a merciful God. He is, but this idea, I think we don't see God for who he is. And we just want a spiritual Santa Claus. It requires sacrifice. So fasting. I want you to, as I go through it now, I'm going to talk about the types of fasting. There's three right now, really quick, just main ones. The first one is you abstain from food, but not liquids. Luke chapter 4, we're going to just put some on the screen for you. Luke 4, 1 through 4. So he doesn't mention thirst here, so we just think it's food. And Jesus, full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and led by the Spirit of into the wilderness. I always like that phrase. The Spirit doesn't always lead you to an easy place. Yeah. Sometimes the Holy Spirit is going to take you to the hardest place. Being 40 days tempted of the devil, in those days he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, command this stone may be made bread. And Jesus answered, saying, it is written. That's why you got to know the word. It is written that men shall not live by the bread alone, but by every word of God. Right? So that should be our focus more, right? It's the word of God. It's not what we eat. So this fast is the most common fast where you fast using water, right? A liquid only, but no food, okay? Especially for longer fasts. All right, the second one is abstain from all food and liquids. We see this Moses on Mount Sinai, Deuteronomy 9:9. He was getting the Ten Commandments when I was going up on the mountain to receive the tablets of stone, even the tablets of the covenant, which the Lord made with you. Then I abode in the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. I neither did eat bread nor drink water. Now, I do not encourage this. He was led by God to do this. You can't live more than 3 days without water. So this is very unique. And actually, he did it three times, if you look in the scriptures. So remember, there's three essential things you need as a person. You need oxygen, you need water, and you need sodium. So without those three things, and a little health thing here, you need sodium, not table salt. Get Celtic sea salt to bring the water into the cell. That's what sodium does. It's very important, right? And oxygen, you know, life is in the blood. And what's the blood do? It carries oxygen. All right, so let me go to the last one here, and then we're going to get onto Lent's of fast. And I'm trying to get to the purpose of fasting. That's where I'm going here. Abstain from certain types of food. We call it a partial fast. We see in Daniel chapter 1 here, Daniel in 605 B.C., with his friends, they got taken away to Babylon, and they were going to be educated, and they wanted for the king to eat all the meats and all that kind of stuff, and they said, no, we don't want to do it because it goes against the law of Moses, it's sacrificed to idols. Daniel chapter 1, verse 8 says, but Daniel purposed in his heart. That's a whole message in itself. That's why you have to, like, purpose ahead of time, because when temptation comes, it's too late. You got to purpose ahead of time to do the right thing, right? That he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now, God had brought Daniel to favor and tender love. I like that. See, when you and I do the right thing, God gives favor to the people in your life that could be lost. Right? Joseph, remember Potiphar, gave him favor. With the prince of the eunuchs, verse 10, and the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear my lord, the king, who hath appointed me your meat, your drink, for what should he see your face is worse liking than the children which are of your sort? Then shall you make me endanger my head to the king. He's like, man, you guys look worse. I'm in big trouble. The king's going to chop my head off. Then said Daniel to Melzar, whom the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days. Give me 10 days, Daniel says. And let them give us pulse or vegetables to eat and drink water. And of course, afterwards, they were healthy. So this type of fast is more for like a diabetic, hypoglycemic person. And then the Lent's of fast. I found in the Bible, real quick, part of the day by King Darius. He He was tricked in throwing Daniel to the lion's den a whole day by the children of Israel. And this was the most common that I found in the scriptures. One day. 3 days by Esther and the Jews. Remember when Haman wanted to wipe them out. 1 week I saw David fasting for his child. Of course, he would die. 2 weeks I saw Paul and others on the ship in Rome. 3 weeks by Daniel. And then 40 days. Moses did it three times. Elijah did it. And of course, Jesus did it. All right, now the frequency of fast. In the Old Testament, it was only required 1 day to fast, and that was the Day of Atonement. It was more for mourning. Now go to Matthew chapter 6. In the New Testament, it does not command you to fast, but it assumes that you will fast. All right, look at Matthew chapter 6, look at verse 16. The early church fasted, as I looked in history, twice a week, a Wednesday and a Friday. The Pharisees fasted a Monday and a Thursday, but they didn't do it humbly. They did it, and you'll see in these verses, to show men that I'm spiritual. All right? So in verse 16, it says, moreover, when you fast. See, it's not if, it's when. Verse 17, but thou, when thou fastest. So he's assuming that you are going to fast. Okay? Now, let me give you some wrong reasons to fast real quick for, and then I'll end the message with the purposes of fasting. That's where I want to spend the most time. All right, number one, to show you are more spiritual than others. All right, it's right here in the verses. Let's read 16 through 18. Moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily, I say unto you, they have the reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thy head and wash thy face. You know, go on with your life. Don't look like, oh, I'm fasting. Let me show everybody. And thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto the Father which is in secret. And the Father which is seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Now, I had a lady one time, many years ago, walked into church. She was visiting that day. And she came and talked to me. She goes, Pastor, I just want to let you know, I just fasted 40 days. And I thought to myself, if you just fasted 40 days, you'd be so close to the Lord, you wouldn't come and tell me. See, she wanted to let everyone know that I fasted. That's not, it's done in secret, so your Heavenly Father, He will reward you. It's not to make yourself look spiritual. B is to shed unwanted weight only. Now, I'm talking about spiritual fasting. Will you lose weight? Fasting is a great thing. Intermittent fasting is really good for you, actually. One of the things that it does, it detoxifies you. I remember when I fasted for a period of time, every ache in my body went away. Yeah, because we remember, you put in junk in, it's going to show itself through the skin, through intestinal problems, all kinds of things. So when you begin to fast, you detoxify your body. I mean, I'm talking about this is spiritual, right? But it is true. It will happen. Especially if you get a lot of carbs. Remember, your body, when you exercise, goes after glucose first. So if you have a lot of glucose in your body, you're not going to lose weight. Number three, to gain some special approval with God. Now, I'm saying God is going to move, but be careful how, and I'm going to explain it to you. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 through 3 says this. Now, the Spirit speaketh expressly or distinctly that in the latter times, which we're in, this being the first and second advent, some shall depart from the faith, that's the embodiment of truth, and give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils or demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared or cauterized with a hot iron. Here it is. What are they teaching? Forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meat, which God has created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. Now, me growing up, some of you too, maybe you were a Catholic, right? Early on, so on Fridays, we didn't eat meat. We ate tuna fish and Charlie Chip potato chips. Even Lent. People say, I'm going to give up chocolate for 40 days. That's not fasting. That's not what we're talking about fasting. That's trying to say, oh, okay, I'm going to sacrifice little things, so God. And the fourth one, D, is to manipulate God for selfish reasons. I found this scripture, Acts 23, 12 and 13. It says, And when it was day, certain of the Jews banded together and bound themselves under a curse, saying that they would neither eat nor drink. So they're going to fast. For what purpose? For they have, till they killed Paul. And the next verse says there was 40 of them. Could you imagine, get 40 people in here and say, we're going to fast so these people can be saved or this could be broken. 40 men said, we're going to fast until we kill Paul. That was selfish. That wasn't a godly reason. Elmer Towns said this. He said, the purpose of all worship, including fasting, is to change the worshiper in ways that have social interpersonal impact. We worship not just to gratify ourselves, but also to become empowered to change the world. I want to say that we worship not to gratify. You know, a lot of worship involves, especially in America, it's about me. Oh, I felt this. Do you feel that? Wait. Worship is towards God. It has nothing to do with you. If that's a result, fine. But that's what people go, well, I didn't really feel it there, so I'm going to go to another church, or I'm going to go to another this, I'm going to go to this. Well, they really didn't minister to me, so I'm going to go over here. And you got it wrong. It's about God. Worship is about God. It's not about you. That's self-centered Christianity. It's all about me. What could they do for me? That's taking. I get this person out of that mentality. Well, they didn't do this for me. They didn't do that for me. It's not about that. It's about you giving. It's not about you taking. Get a hold of that. That's Christianity. You'll be miserable always looking for people to give, because they'll never give enough. All right, let's focus. This is where I want to focus on now. This is what I want you to remember of all the messages, of all of what I just said. The purposes of fasting. And this is not all of them, but this is some. So go to Isaiah 58. We're going to end here. It's the last passage you're going to turn to. Isaiah 58. So first one, to release practical bondage of sin. All right, let's start in verse 6. I'll go back and read 3 and 4 later, but I just want to start in 6. Is not this the fast that I have chosen? Here it is. Number 1. To loose the bands of wickedness. So to loose the bands of wickedness has to do with those addictive behaviors, those besetting sins that you have maybe or someone else has, those habitual things like addicted to alcohol, drugs, smoking, compulsive eating, sexual sin, bitterness, whatever it is. I don't know what it is with you. The Bible is clear that we're not supposed to be in bondage to those as Christians. We've been set free from the penalty and the power of sin. And fasting is one of the ways to break that. And people will say to me, if you've never fasted before, I just say do it one day. Remember, the Jews fasted from sundown to sundown. So you eat supper, you eat supper. Who hasn't missed breakfast and lunch? We all have. But now you have a purpose, though. So it's to clear that. I remember this one guy really struggling with drugs. And by the way, dopamine is so important. You know, when you fast, a lot of these, like I was saying, you get detoxed from that. But dopamine is so, when you fast for 48 hours, I was doing some research, it actually reboots your dopamine system, and it develops new receptors. Yeah. So try a 48-hour fast. It helps with dopamine. And remember, exercising, when you exercise, you release these proteins, and they're called hope molecules. That's why you feel better after exercise. I had this one lady who was depressed over this reason, and I met with her, and she was just totally depressed, and you could see why she was depressed. Her son, who was saved, committed suicide. And so they came to me knowing that I've gone through some of those things in my life. And I said to her, okay, your son, you're going to see him. It's just interruption. You're going to see him one day. And she was an educated person. This wasn't a person who was lazy, but she was so depressed, and everything was going down in her life. And I said, I want you to do 3 things. First, I want you to pray and give it over to God every moment. Pray and fasting. The second thing I want you to do is you're draining your whole nervous system every day. I want you to start getting B-complex. By the way, the real way to do that, if you want to do it really good, is go get blood tests and they'll see what's missing in your body. This is my health part that you know I love, right? You can get genetic testing. There's 5 genes that if they're messed up, it's called methylation. When they convert, you know, it's like you get crude oil from the ground. You got to convert that before we put it in your gasoline, right? It's the same thing when your body can come in. If there's messed up, it's not going to convert it to the proper nutrition. So you have to, you know, look at that. And so when you look at all this, they could tell you, it's all science. You know people who do life insurance? They could tell you, obviously they're not God, they could say, this person's going to die. They look at their blood work and all the tests and say, man, they're not going to live. We're not going to put money in. No way we're going to do this. Oh, yeah, it's going to be $20,000. Thank God I did my blood work, by the way. They're giving me another 20 years preferred rate till 83. Because they looked at my blood work. They said, now you don't have to do the EKG. You do this. Everything looks great. We're going to insure you. So I told her, I said, look, you have to get the right nutrition in. And the third thing I want you to do is do physical exercise. And you know what she said to me? She said, she was a runner, but she stopped running. She goes, about 2 weeks ago, I ran. It was the first time that I thought normal after I ran. I said, see? So I want you to do those 3 things and your life will start changing. It's a spiritual, physical component. Hope molecules are released. The body is all tied together. You can't separate it. And a lot of people are addicted to sugar. Maybe you're addicted to sugar. You'll never feel the way God wants you to feel. You got to break that. Fasting will help do that. It's all tied together. We're fearfully and wonderfully made. We can't be a bad steward of that. It's not just spiritual, physical. It's all together. Right? You can't separate all this stuff. We kind of try to do that. But it's not true. You can't do it really. All right, let's go to the next one. You'll find direction and solution to your problems. It says the next phrase, to undo the heavy burdens. So this type of fast helps you to face difficulties. You know, it's getting wisdom. Maybe you have problems at home, problems in your marriage, problems with the kids, or direction for God's will. You know, I fasted. I said, when God wanted me to start a church, I fasted. I go, Lord, where do you want it to be? And one day, Steve Bennett, he was driving down past here in that window right where Ed's sitting. There's a little sign that says, for rent. Linda and I went down to the beach, and we were just praying here. And we actually stayed at a motel in West Haven. Once we figured we were going to stay, we stayed there. And 2-3 o'clock in the morning, there's drug deals going above our head. We didn't get any sleep. We had to leave. And then somebody got shot in West Haven, and somebody came to me in another church and said, you're going to go start a church here? I said, what a better place to start a church. People need to be saved there. God clearly directed me there. And listen, people always tell you, when you pray and fast and you get close to God, don't listen to a lot of people. I'm just telling you. I'm not saying not godly people. No, don't do that. That's going to be too hard or too dangerous for you. God's will is God's will. It's not always going to be easy. Next one. So promote revival. Look at the next part. It says, and to let the oppressed or broken to go free. You look at all major revivals in history, you'll see that there was prayer and fasting going on before they happened. I read some books. Think about the Ninevites, right? In Jonah 3:5 says, so the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them to the least of them. Can you imagine this country? The president's going to call for a fast. We're all going to fast to seek God, to bring revival to this country. Can you imagine? How bad do you want revival in your family and the people around you? The Apostle Paul said, listen, I'll go to hell if all Israel could be saved. I don't know if I could say that. Everybody I know and love, they all get to go to heaven and I'm going to go to hell. Romans 9:2-3 says that I have a great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart, for I could wish myself would be accursed from Christ, for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. Souls are won by prayer, fasting, and going forth. I read the scripture before. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. They that goeth forth weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing. So here's what I'm asking. I'm asking everybody in this place to fast one day this week for the anniversary service coming up for people, for those to get saved, those to come back. So pick one day this week, right? And I know everyone has different schedules, but pick one day. Just drink water. Go supper to supper. And you say, I'll at the end, I'll put it all together for you practically. But let me just move forward. The next one is provide relief for self-destructive emotional habits. It says that you break every yoke. Fasting, again, I was talking about it before, is breaks these emotional yokes, this up and down. Like I just talked about that lady. Next one, to meet others' physical needs. Look at verse 7. It says, is not to deal the bread to the hungry, that thou bring forth the poor that are cast out to the house? When thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, that thou hide not thyself from thy own flesh. So listen, if you have a provision, fast for it. Maybe fasting for someone. I'm not saying we shouldn't help people too. It's not saying that. But part of that fasting could meet a person's physical needs. And the last one I found is expressing passion or mourning over someone's death. And I found that mostly in the Old Testament. Again, that's not exhausting all of them. Now, let me give you the benefits and we'll close. The benefits. The first one, we'll get proper direction in our life. Look at verse 8. She said, okay, you're fasted. Now, what's going to happen? Well, after you fast, shall the light break forth as the morning. Look at verse 10. And if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry and satisfy afflicted soul, then shall the light rise in obscurity and thy darkness be made as the noonday. See, it's saying you will see clearer for direction when you fast. Yeah. It's one of the great benefits right there. Second thing, we'll feel better physically, right? It goes on to say, and thine health shall spring forth speedily. Third, C, we'll be set free to live a practical, righteous life. It says in that verse 8, and thy righteousness shall go before thee, right? So you when you're fasting, you get close to God, you present a real righteous life, and that's very attractive to people. I don't know if you watch the NFL, there's some players that really stand up for Jesus. I voted for the 49ers to win because of the quarterback. Purdy, he was a Christian. I was like, who are you voting for? I'm voting for the Christian who's the quarterback. That's who I want to win. Right? Kirk Cousins is another one. Very strong quarterback for the Minnesota Vikings. Very strong faith. See, they affect people. The Tim Tebows. As you get closer to God and walk with God, you will affect people around you. Some don't like the light, so they run from the darkness, but you'll affect more people as you pray and fast and are walking right. Oh, yeah, myself included. God will protect us from Satan's attack according to his will. It says, the glory of the Lord shall be your reward. I looked that word up, and it's also, it means to gather, to take away. So as we seek God, he says, I'm going to protect you according to my will. Now, don't always remember, that doesn't mean that nothing's going to happen to you. Because we remember in Acts 12, they were praying for Peter. Oh, he was let go from prison. But James got his head cut off. But that was God's will. They prayed for James. So don't think that nothing's going to happen to me. It's according to God's will. Then our prayers will be answered. Look at verse 9. It says, and thou shalt call, and the Lord shall answer thee. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, here am I. Remember Jabez's prayer? First Chronicles 4:10 says, and Jabez called on God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed, enlarge my coast, that my hand might be with thee, that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may be that it not grieve me. And God granted him which he had requested. God will provide emotional stability. Look at verse 11. It says, and the Lord shall guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul in drought. And make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden, like a spring of water, whose waters shall fail. And then the last one is, will be used in the path of others' lives for salvation and strengthening. Verse 12, And they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt raise up the foundations of the many generations. See, as you pray and fast and God changes, you're going to affect generations, it says. And thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of past to dwell. So practically, steps of fasting. First, determine to fast. I'm going to fast. Jesus said, when you fast, right? Second is you're going to be faithful. You're going to be faithful. You're going to finish it. I know people said, I started it. Oh, I got to eat. I said, all right, just start again. Don't give up. Go back. Now, let me just jump backwards a little bit. We talked about fasting for the wrong reason. Go to verse 3. Wherefore, have we fasted? So they fasted, but it was the wrong fast. Watch. Say they, have thou seest not? Wherefore have we afflicted our souls, and thou takest no knowledge? Behold, in the day of your fast, watch what he says, you find pleasure. He says you keep living the same way. And then exact all your labors. They weren't paying their servants. They wouldn't let them off work. Behold, you fast for strife, debate, and to smite with the fist of wickedness. You shall not fast as you do this day to make your voice to be heard on high. Again, selfish reasons. Is it such a fast that I've chosen? A day for a man to afflict his soul is to bow down his head as a bulrush and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him. Will thou call this a fast, an acceptable day to the Lord? So finish it. And the last thing is define your fast. So what I mean by that is the purpose. Why are you fasting? It has to be, you know, this week I want you to fast for souls. For obviously it could be direction in your life. It could be breaking of habits. And then pray during your fast. We say, when should I pray? A good time is when you're supposed to eat. Instead of eating, you're going to pray. And then the last thing is the parameters of your fast, the length and the type of fast. I encourage you not to, if you've never done it before, just fast one day and drink water. Okay? Any other questions? I know I went through this really fast. You can come and ask me. Father, we thank you for the privilege to pray. Go to the throne of grace. Everybody with their head bowed, their eyes closed, you're here today. And the first question I have to ask is, are you saved? Are you born again? Have you accepted Christ only as God rose from the dead? Did you repent, turn from what you're trusting in, and receive Jesus Christ? All the fasting in the world isn't going to get you saved. You have to come to him and receive him. But you have to see yourself as a sinner going to hell in order to say, I need a Savior to go to heaven. So if you're here today and you're not saved, please come and talk to me. Talk to somebody else. That's the most important thing. But once you become a Christian, now we can go boldly to the throne. We could pray. And so I encourage you now to spend time with God every day, private time. Not just pray without ceasing. That's when you're in the car and you're driving. That's great. And then I'm going to go ask you one step further now. Is the fast this week? And maybe you need to break some things in your life, or you know somebody else in your life, or there's problems in the home and the marriage, and you know, you can direct it and say, okay, and I want to pray for people to get saved. And the benefits you'll see, they'll come. But you're going to have to deny yourself first. And so I pray you would do that today, Lord. I pray you give us all strength, those who are believers, to fast this week and have purpose and call on your name. And then you get all the glory, Lord, for you will move. And help us not to be weary. Maybe some things are going to require more fast. It's going to be more than just one fast to break something. Father, we thank you for your patience with us. And please help us this week as we seek your face. Reveal yourself deeper to us through your word, through the Spirit. And may we be a blessing to others. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for your patience. Lord willing, I'll see you next week. Pray. God bless.